Thanks for joining us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Today we have Dato' Jamaluddin Nasir, the Group CEO of the Malaysian Rating Corporation Berhad, or MARC, joining us to talk about the economy and the direction of it. Dato', thanks very much for taking the time to speak with us. Let's do a quick recap into the mandate of MARC. How are you guys mandated, and how is it going?
Yeah. Thank you for having me here today. MARC, as you know, is started off being a rating agency. We will continue to play our role in terms of supporting the growth of the capital market in Malaysia. Apart from that, MARC has ventured into other areas. We move into the data game. We are moving into equivalent to CTOS game. And we are also moving into the ESG space. So I think that encapsulates what we are trying to do in MARC today.
All right. The idea here, of course, is to provide assurance and to provide some sort of clarity in terms of the economy of the country. You know, top line ideas are like the Malaysian GDP at 330 billion odd ringgit, but you know, tax revenue is going to be a big problem. Every single government that has entered Putrajaya is trying to grow revenue. Not many have succeeded. This government is also trying to see how they can tap into increasing tax revenue at about 170, 180 billion ringgit, for instance, or even lower than that, actually. So where do you feel the tax revenue is going to come when it comes to rejigging our nation and getting more tax collection?
Yeah, I think every government of the day for Malaysia will have that problem. If you look at Malaysia, for instance, since 1997, we have been funding the gap through budget deficit. Today, we are having a deficit of easily about 5%. I think that will continue until we address the tax issue. The interesting part about talking about the tax issue, if you look at our tax to GDP ratio, currently we are about 11.8%. Mm. That's pretty low. If we were to compare our tax to GDP ratio relative to, for instance, in Asia Pacific, which is running at 19.8%. And if we compare ourselves with the OECD countries, we are looking at 34.1%. So we have a huge gap to catch up. Mm-hmm. And I think there has to be a lot more collaboration between what the government plans to do, and I think the input and from the private sector is glaringly more important now.
The problem here is that if you increase personal income tax, there's going to be riots in the street. If you increase corporate tax, might not necessarily be good as well. Corporates can just chow, leave the country. Of course, you're looking at you know, our neighboring countries doing a lot better in terms of their tax regime. The only way forward, I think, and I'm no economist, is that you need to introduce something like GST or something more dramatic, like more than that, like, you know, capital gains tax maybe. So do you feel that these kind of radical movements, though however unpopular it is necessary?
I think most economists felt that, you know, we should have a lot more broad-based tax collection like GST. But this is obviously very unpopular. But unpopular especially and can make the government lose vote.
Okay.
But I think at the end of the day, I think we need to, the government got to realise and start to think about how do we move forward and protect the country going forward.
All right. There's also that whole idea of not just thinking about revenue, it's also thinking about cost. Subsidy is hitting us a lot. If I'm not mistaken, the number that we're looking at is 80 billion ringgit in terms of total subsidies. Petrol, for instance, constitute more than that, more than half that. Yeah. Where do you feel the subsidy equation is going to come in? This government is postulating that they're going to go with targeted subsidies, trying to understand a little bit better in terms of how subsidies regimes work. Are we really doing ourselves a favour when we subsidise carbon, for instance? Where is your thinking when it comes to subsidy?
I think if you look at our current ratio, our subsidies actually amount to close to 80 billion, 78 billion to be exact, of which petrol subsidy alone is about 37 billion. Mm. So about half is actually taken up by petrol. Apart from that, actually we give a lot of cash aid. cash aid and subsidies to the people. That also amounts to about 27 billion. That's quite substantial, actually. I think the interesting part is that a typical economist would always say when you give subsidy, it has always got to do with more productive use. So I think if we continue to give subsidy, this becomes unbearable to given the state of our tax collection today. Today, our subsidy tantamount to about 25% of our current GDP. And it has been growing, actually, over the last many years. If you look at our subsidy back then in 20 years ago, it was very, very low, actually. Very, very low. So it has now gone to from about probably about 1% GDP has gone to almost 25%. It is no longer sustainable, actually. And I think the government of the day has really got their work cut out for them to manage this, not losing the people's support, but also at the same time managing the fact that we cannot continue giving more and more subsidy.
But again, this is another unpopular move.
Yes.
You're thinking about, not you lah, as in the government is thinking about increasing taxation. The government is also thinking about reducing subsidies, rising the inflation rate even further. Then, of course, there's a third equation here in terms of salaries or wages. And, of course, we saw how the Minister of Economy is pushing forward the progressive wage model. What are your thinking when it comes to the progressive wage model instead of other models like minimum basic income?
Yeah, I think the progressive wage model is quite something in the right direction. If you look today, if you look at our current statistics, our salary to GDP right now is somewhere about 32%. The average worldwide is 52%. So I think we have a huge gap. And I think so when we talk about the progressive wage policy, we have to think about how best to actually increase our wage, but also at the same time, look at how we are going to gradually reduce our subsidy, right? I think also the government has done where they said, I want to do targeted subsidy. Those who can afford will pay more. Those who can't afford, they will continue to subsidize. But I think at the end of the day, we have to increase our wage. We have to reduce our subsidy. So it's a gradual thing. It's something that the government cannot do overnight. The government has got to have a 5-year, a 10-year, or even a 15-year plan. How to increase that wage through investment, through maybe getting more people to be re-educated, upskilling, because at the end of the day, we need this. So that's a huge component. That means if we are able to get more people working in this country, generating higher revenue, that's also another form of tax collection. If we have more investment coming in, for instance, like when we talk about food security as an example, we import something like, if I'm not mistaken,
we import everything.
Quite a hefty amount.
I can see your SSR chart, everybody.
Yeah, so we have a huge gap with our self-sufficiency ratio. Mm-hmm. So I think if we are able to, for instance, invest in agro, we could possibly stop something like importing 60 over billion worth of food.
Which
a
one
year.
Comes first? The funding to go into agro tech businesses or getting more entrepreneurs to adopt higher efficiency, higher yield output when it comes to agro businesses?
I think at the end of the day, we are at a stage where I think we have to do many things parallel. We cannot do one and then wait for the other to happen later. So I think the government has got to do multiple planning in order to turn it around as quickly as
Which
possible.
Which begs the question of how do you think the government is going to do this? Is execution risk a real thing right now?
Well, if we talk about Malaysia, based on my experience, what I've seen so far, we never lack ideas. We never lack in terms of policy. Our biggest problem is always about effective execution and getting the right people to do the job. And I think to be fair also to all of us here in Malaysia, I think we don't lack the number of people who can help execute and bring the country out of the woods. Mm. So I think execution is key. The government got to come up with the right policies and support. The private sector must play their role. I think if we can have a better collaboration, partnership between public and private sector, the engagement process, letting the private sector know the direction of the government, I think that will help the government. The government cannot do this alone. It's pretty obvious that, you know, we have to actually move forward in tandem together.
Your day job requires you to talk to a lot of corporations in the private sector. You are getting the real feel and mood in terms of the environment right now. It's not just GLCs, GLICs. You're talking to MNCs as well, big and small. What's the mood like in Malaysia Corporation Incorporated?
I think a bit subdued, I would say. But I think most of people in the private sector actually want to help play their role. They are eager to see where the government wants to head, and they want to play their role to help the country. I think generally, you know, I would say maybe most of them will have that feeling. You know, how do I play my part in nation building? And I said when we talk about playing our role in nation building is all about, you know, investment, creating jobs, and if we create jobs, we can have more tax. So I think it's a, as I said earlier, you know, we may have multiple strategies that have to be executed all together.
Okay, there's also that whole idea of increasing the value chain of our workforce. We have plenty of opportunities to become Grab riders, for instance, or e-hailing, p-hailing riders. Not many of them want to go to school, not many of them want to attend tertiary education, as evident by the SPM result that we saw a few months ago. Doesn't this worry you?
Of course, I think at the end of the day, you know, when we talk about the services industry, I think we need to move our workforce more towards higher value items,
which is in tandem to increase wage as well.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Right. So I think at the end of the day, educating our people, making sure that, you know, our universities, as an example, you know, train or educate our people, that is meeting the needs of the industry.
Do you feel that that's happening?
No. Personally, I don't think so. I think there's a mismatch, and that's also the reason why we are seeing a lot of unemployment among graduates.
You are among the list of CEOs that have sat in that very chair, crying your eyes out in terms of trying to find better talent, yet we have 12% youth unemployment, we have 4% general unemployment. There is a big gap here. That's corporations want to hire, they can't find people.
Yeah.
So scary.
Yeah.
Okay, let's now look at the timeline then. Mm. Because you were mentioning that government needs time. 5 years, 10 years, even 15 years to quote you. There is this whole issue of political risk. Mm. I don't believe anybody that says political risk has been abated. Yes, we saw an election come and go very recently. But the ability for us to actually imagine a government changing is very real. We've had 4 or 5 governments. We're so fortunate that we have so many politicians and so many prime ministers in the, you know, past 3 or 4 years. That's not necessarily a good thing. How do you feel the situation is when it comes to political risk? Has it been abated? Is it being addressed?
Tough question to answer.
It is always a tough question.
Given the fact that I'm not a politician. But,
or you don't have a crystal ball.
Yeah. I think I don't have a crystal ball, but looking at the scenario, I hope the water will find its level. Mm. The political risk that we see today has not really seen that it's abated. But I think we are seeing clearer signs as to where the country will be heading. But I would probably answer the question in a slightly also another different manner. I think the government of the day, whoever that may be, has got work cut out for them to help turn around the country. We have many alarming numbers within the economic space. that will need the government to actually sit down with the civil servant, with the private sector, and actually rally all of them towards a more clearer path. The government of today should know that they cannot solve the problem within the 5 years, within the span of every general election. I think the general public needs to know that the government needs time, 5 years, 10 years or 15 years. So we need a plan. In the good old days, we used to have this Malaysia plan, which is a 5-year national plan, economic plan. I think something to that sort. But I think in terms of looking at where the country will be going, I think the government of the day got to think beyond 5 years. They have to talk about a 10-year to 15-year horizon.
I know every single government in earnest is thinking about that.
Yeah.
But you can't think about that without thinking about the political survival of today.
That's correct.
How do you feel the political survival of today is going to impact the, I guess, point of view of foreign investors? Domestic direct investments are going to be hampered. Do you feel that investors are now holding back cash or investing elsewhere because of this worry of this government being short-termist?
Which is the reason why we need to be able. You see, what I find quite interesting, for instance, if you talk about the USA, you see the change of president, but then when you talk about economy, nothing much has changed.
No, it's very consistent policy.
Very consistent policy.
But that's just US. Yeah. I can even bring to you the idea of Italy or Germany, where economic policies remain constant despite who's in power. It's amazing, to see these economies like that.
So I think we need to have that.
But that requires maturity, requires time.
Precisely. And that's something that I think maybe all of us should embrace because this is what the investors look for.
Investors are looking at the addressing the divide between the Green Wave movement, GE 14, GE 15. There's a clear rise of the Green Wave. The recent state elections, it's a clear cut on where the Green Wave is and isn't.
Yeah.
And it seems like Malaysia is of two countries now. Sorry, Semenanjung Malaysia, because we have Sabah and Sarawak viewers right now that is going to throw their carrots at the TV right now. Because they too are now trying to figure out how they can better manage the relationship within the Federation. Are we in trouble?
I think a politician should try and answer that. But I would rather focus on the fact that I think if the government of the day could focus on turning around our economy, I think there will be much lesser issues politically, even race or religion.
Yeah, because you feel you're ascribing this as a symptom. The diagnosis is actually economy. If everybody is economically prosperous,
yes,
we can solve many other issues, social
issues. I think
the
focus will become much less on political. They will talk about wealth generation. And I think the acceptance of everybody will become even more clearer to everybody. So we don't see others as a competitor. I think also the glaring fact that when we have a much longer term plan, and all politicians, if they can sort out the political angle, but I think the economic framework got to continue as a nation to be implemented possibly by the civil service and with the private sector assisting the government of the day.
Right. What are your ideas that you can share with us when it comes to collaboration, better collaboration between the private-public partnership right now?
I think a good example, for instance, today we used to have, for instance, tourism industry used to contribute something like about 5.1% of our GDP. Mm-hmm. It is now down to about 1.6% of GDP. I think so. That's one angle. I think these are low-hanging fruit. We have all the infrastructure. We don't see, I don't see, for instance, the people within the tourism industry working very closely with the government in promoting Malaysia. We used to invest, for instance, in Tourism Malaysia, which we don't. And I think we have a lot of industry where you see tourism going to Indonesia and Thailand a lot more than we see coming to Malaysia. So I think it's something that we can improve upon. I call this low-hanging fruit because the infrastructure is already there. That will help to turn around our economy and bring in the forex that we needed. So that's one of them. Obviously, I think the government also wanted to introduce the new roadmap for our energy, and then I think that's also another good
national energy transition roadmap.
That's correct.
That's
yeah.
Right. Part
so,
one. Yeah.
Part one. Yeah. So I think that's also a move in the right direction. I think most countries are also, to be fair, moving towards that direction
yeah.
anyway.
Yeah.
Right. So we need to embrace these changes.
There's also the National Industrial Output Plan or roadmap that is going to be introduced the next few weeks.
Yeah.
All this falls into the new economic model to be known as Madani economy or economy
yeah.
Madani.
Yeah.
Are you looking through the notes of these kind of roadmaps? Do you feel that we are heading in the right direction? Again, execution risk is the problem.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not about the plan, it's about the execution.
I think in any plan that we have, we need the right people. We need timeline, we need deadlines, and
accountability of the right stakeholders, right?
Yeah.
Tak boleh benda tu just left it there hanging. Somebody
correct.
Has to be accountable
so,
to deal with it.
As I said earlier, we as a country, our people, we don't lack ideas. We have a lot of good ideas. And I think our biggest problem is always execution. And I think the execution needs to improve tremendously, and like I said, the public sector, the civil service, and also the government of the day needs to work hand in hand. I think I think we need to basically put our trust in the people of Malaysia that they can do this job now.
What about your thoughts on SMEs making them? You know, regionally champions, and you could, tech startups that can scale their businesses quite considerably if they think about, you know, regionalizing their operations. Do you feel that we have a conducive environment where tech startups and SMEs can grow accordingly, and young people at that, young entrepreneurs?
Yeah, I think interestingly in Malaysia we are always able to develop a lot of good entrepreneurs. I think there's still much room to improve on SMEs. Financial institution, as an example, can play a role to support them. Part of the reason our wage to GDP is quite low is because we see a lot of the SMEs not being able to scale up. And I think SME scaling up requires support in terms of working capital and funding need. So I think the perspective of how we see things also got to change towards SME. The SME needs to be supported because they are the biggest employer in Malaysia and likewise in other parts of the world. It reminds me also that sometimes our definition of SMEs and how we need to bring this company up is not just about the government's role, it's also about the people supporting it, the development financial institution, even the commercial bank for that matter. We need to have a lot more collaboration on that too. Otherwise, the SME that we see 20 years ago and as what we are seeing today will not progress the way it is.
Final idea of exploration is in terms of how the government is faring right now. You're talking about what the government needs to do, what the government is trying to achieve, and the risks that lay ahead and the opportunities that lie within. As it stands, the government, the Unity government, is approaching its 9-month checkpoint. Do you feel that the government is heading in the right direction?
Maybe Prime Minister Anwar would probably be the best person.
I mean, you are the rating Corporation Berhad.
I think, like I said, I think it's probably now after 9 months.
How would you rate the government?
And I think the government should now refocus from the political perspective of the grand scheme of things and start looking into how we want to turn around the economy, because I think that is a key component. Because what we are seeing today is that the wage have not really increased. Inflation has crept in. And if we go outside, you will find that, you know, the cost, the inflation is a lot higher than what we actually normally see. We talk about 2-3%. But if you go to the mama, you'll find that the cost has actually gone up easily 50%, 100%, and so on and so forth. So I think we have seen the slide for probably the last 10 years. And I think what the government is doing, for instance, like progressive wage policy, is a step in the right direction. The new roadmaps that they are looking at is also a step in the right direction. I think we just need to spend time to execute it and execute it well. I think the government could do a better job in terms of monitoring the progress of this execution. I for one think that, you know, it should be let the private sector run a lot of these businesses, because they are hungrier than obviously hungrier to make sure that, you know, they can get the return on capital. So this is something that and the government should not try to intervene too much. You know, I think the government should play a role of encouraging and making sure that the policy is actually conducive to the respective industry. I think that part of it, getting the industry player to engage the government and the government being more open, would be a good step in the right direction for the government.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. That was Dato' Jamaluddin Nasir, the Group CEO of the Malaysia Rating Corporation Berhad, or MARC. If you want to learn more, just head off to their website. There's also a lot of resources like this that can be found on astroawani.com. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.